Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Epic Podcast. Introducing your hosts, Nelson Lugo and Schaefer the Dark Lord.
No, I need to figure out what we're doing.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, we can't just start the show with us just... I need a way to introduce the people to the show, like, you know, hey, welcome to the, you know, something like that, like, or you're listening to, we can't just meander.
Perhaps you should have considered that before you came over to my apartment to start recording. Maybe you should have scripted something. You should have created some sort of strategy for your first episode.
Right. Well, I thought you and I would figure this out together. I didn't realize that I had to come prepared with all of these decisions prior to speaking to you about it.
Oh, I thought that I had the microphone right. And you were the idea man.
That's
like if this were a heist picture, I have the van and the computers.
Sure.
And
I'm the one with the plan, the scheme.
Yeah, that's what I expected. So I guess we just then figure it out as we go.
Right.
Okay.
So,
well,
should
maybe figure it out as you go. This is with
welcome. All right. So let's start with something like this. How about this?
Okay. Go.
You're listening to the Epic Podcast. My name is Nelson Lugo, and directly to my left is Schaefer the Dark Lord.
What up, the internet?
Yeah, I think that works.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think
so. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Can I say my own name instead of you? Like, you say...
Whoa.
Like, when we used to host shows together, you would say, like, you would intro yourself, and then I would intro me. You want to try that again?
Yeah, sure. Why
not? Because I like saying my name a lot.
That's true. You do.
Okay.
You do. All right, let's try this. Hey there, internets! This is the Epic Podcast. My name is Nelson Lugo.
And my name is Schaefer the Dark Lord.
And we're going to be your hosts for, I guess, the very first podcast that we are creating, which will be a short one, because we need content that's going to be provided by you, technically speaking. So today we're going to catch up with each other, figure out all of the nerdy goodness that we've been up to in the past couple of weeks. And then we're going to talk about, I don't know, a segment I like to call Schaefer's Rant, where he gets to yell at the microphone about something that he's angry about today.
Excellent. This is a pilot episode.
Yes, this is the pilot episode. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Terrific. I should have dressed better for it.
Well, I mean, you're wearing pants. That's pretty much all I can really hope for.
Terrific. So, Nelson Lugo.
Yes, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Let me ask you some questions. Since we don't have guests yet or an agenda or audience questions or anything like that, let me ask you a few questions.
Oh, dear.
I understand you're about to launch a podcast. Is that correct?
Yes.
And this is going to be tied to your burlesque show, which, if memory serves, is titled Epic Win Burlesque.
That is true. Well, yes. I mean, tied is too strong a word. I think associated in addition to, obviously, we're going to be talking about a hell of a lot more than just nerdy burlesque here on the podcast. This will also be a forum to sort of plug shows that are coming up and as well for you as well, because I know you have shows coming up as well.
True.
And we get to talk about nerd-centric things, and one of which will more than likely end up being nerdy burlesque at some point. Yeah.
All right. So just so that I'm clear,
right?
This is basically what we do when we just hang out.
Yeah.
Except now we're doing it toward a microphone.
Yes.
And we're going to give it to the internet.
Right. In those moments when we are sitting in your apartment drinking beer, talking about really dumb, stupid shit while I watch you play video games. Except, yes, now we're going to record them.
Because, oh, cheers.
Cheers. There. That's, because nobody believes me that, because I post some of the stupid shit that we say, and people think it's an act. People think that we're making this shit up. But no, this is really the dumb stuff that comes out of our mouths.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. The stuff that we talk about is mostly asinine, superficial, petty, childish.
Whoa. Who are you calling petty?
Well, me. Actually, I'm the one that starts the most petty fights. I feel like when we discuss things...
Do you really?
All the time.
Oh, I don't know about that. I wouldn't call them petty.
Okay, well, no, that's... Well,
no. Childish, sure.
Okay.
But
well,
not...
You know, you're a good friend. I appreciate that you didn't let me go down the road of feeling...
Well, yeah, petty. I think highly of you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So, all right. So it's not tied to Epic Win Burlesque.
No,
I understand.
Not specifically. I mean, obviously, it's coming out of the same womb as the womb's the wrong word here.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, it's coming out of the same sort of cauldron that Epic Win Burlesque belongs to. Okay. But it isn't specifically for Epic Win Burlesque.
Yeah. I understand. Yeah. But you still want there to be some sort of connection because the word epic still appears in it.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I'm trying... So it's still all under the same umbrella of your production company that is Epic Win Burlesque.
Well, I'm trying to build a brand.
I understand.
And it would behoove me to sort of keep it similar.
But you don't want to say that they're tied to it because, you know, they don't want to be exclusive just yet. They're trying to keep... Your podcast and your burlesque show, they're just keeping things casual for the time.
Well, the thing is, it's like, I don't know if I want to be a burlesque producer in like 5 years. So I'm trying to create content that will live past, you know, in case the nerdy burlesque bubble happens to pop. You know, I want to create entertainment and content for people that enjoy that sort of thing that will have a longer shelf life than, say, nerdy burlesque would.
Okay, terrific. Yeah. Now explain the second half of the name, which is PieCast.
Well, there's this thing on the internet called a podcast.
Okay.
Wherein now that radio is basically dead, people, you know, still like to listen to content. They still like to listen to, you know, entertaining talk radio or music or what have you. And so the internet invented a thing called podcasting. Epic, obviously, Epic for Epic Win Burlesque, and Pi, because, well, I some would say I have an affinity for the baked dessert treats.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yes. Actually, here's the thing. I like it more than I probably should, but less than the internet thinks I do.
And, you know, I feel I should probably take a little bit of responsibility for that.
Really?
I have, well, let's just say for the past 4 years, maybe?
Sure.
Three, four. Look, time is a blur. I've done a lot of damage upstairs.
It's probably four. I would say it's about four.
For about 4 years, yeah. I have been shouting at you every moment, "You eat pie!"
That's true.
And
that's true.
Shouting it on the internet. People have posted images of delicious pies on the internet.
The same four images, by the way.
I feel that I have had some sort of hand in creating your own personal branding on the internet by associating you with your love of pie.
That's, well, yeah.
I didn't give you the tattoo on your arm of a slice of pie.
No.
So it's genuine. Your love of pie is legitimate.
It's
but
a legitimate
I may
love.
Have gone a little wild and tried to help publicly brand you with it.
Yeah, pointing at me and screaming at me, "You eat pie," while you're on stage in front of several hundred people probably didn't do much to curtail that.
I did do that.
Several times.
Okay.
A number of times.
I want to apologize.
No, I'm not asking. No, nor
but
should
I,
you.
Okay, good.
Nor should you.
Because I don't really want to.
No, well, okay. Well, there's nothing to apologize for. I mean, it's true. I do like pie, just not as much as the internet thinks I do.
Okay.
Yeah. There's this aura. There's this mystique about me that I'm some sort of, like, that's all I eat. Like, my cupboards are chock-a-block with pie, and that's certainly not the case.
You know, I can relate to that in to some regard in that I believe the internet believes that I am an out-of-control drug addict. But the difference, here's the thing, the difference between you and me is that I told the internet that you were a pie freak.
Sure.
And I also told the internet that I'm an out-of-control drug addict. And I feel
you're responsible for both of those.
I may have exaggerated that a little bit.
Yeah.
So, in the event,
but truth be told, you did have a somewhat checkered past. You were an out of control youth at one point in your life.
Fair enough, but I feel that I may be. I don't feel it's necessarily an accurate description of where I am now.
No.
And I'm not just saying that in the event that my parents are listening.
Your parents have heard every song you've ever written, so...
Fair enough.
I don't think your parents are under any delusion about what you're doing.
You know, I have an unreleased song called Cocaine, and that is still one of my mom's most favorite songs.
I like your mom.
Yeah, she's good people.
Your mom is good people.
So, here we are at the very first episode.
Yes.
I'm going to keep calling it yours.
Why? No, it's ours.
Yeah, but...
No, it's ours. It's just as much... Here's the thing. You backed out of Epic Win Burlesque for reasons I completely support and understand, but this is your baby as well.
Oh, I can't handle the responsibility of a baby.
No.
I'm an out-of-control drug addict.
Poor metaphor on my part. This consumable piece of media is as much yours as it is mine.
Okay.
Because to be perfectly frank, I would never do this unless I was speaking to you. Like, I wouldn't do this alone, and I certainly can't find myself doing this sitting next to somebody else. So this only exists because you're part of it.
I see. Take note, future guests. Okay, well then, all right, well, terrific. Well, then this is the first episode of our podcast.
There you go.
The Epic Podcast.
Yes.
So I guess, do you want to talk about what sort of format you're going to employ for the show for the future episodes? I know that we're still just finding our way here.
We are. Well, I mean, I think there's a tried and true formula out there in the podcasting world that I think has worked for a lot of podcasts, which I think we'll go with at least for the short term until we find a flow that works for both of us.
Okay.
And I think the first half will be just you and I sort of catching up on what's happened in our lives since the last podcast, essentially, like any nerdy things or any particularly special things that we've done or seen or experienced, that kind of stuff. Anything, you know, any like wonderful thing we want to talk about. And then we'll have some sort of topic, some sort of like either a hot button issue or something that's important to you, something that makes you laugh or something that makes you mad. And because it's you, it's probably both things at the same time. And then I'd love to have some guests on here. I'd love to, you know, invite some of our really awesome friends on here to talk about, you know, particularly wonderful things that they're doing or not doing. We're hoping. I don't know if we should mention any of the people we want on here. Can we talk about those names? Or?
I don't know. I feel that might be a little
presumptuous on our part.
Perhaps.
Okay.
They might. I mean, what if they hear the first episode and they're like, "Oh, there's no way I'm coming over to your place and talking with you two jackasses about nothing for an hour."
Well, I mean, at some point, we're probably going to have like every member of the Epic Win Burlesque cast here at some point or another.
All right. Well, that excites me because that means they have to come to my apartment.
Yeah.
The girls of Epic Win Burlesque have to come to my apartment.
Well, I mean, I don't think we're going to have them all at the same time, but like, you know, I think there's six core cast members and we'll probably have six episodes where each one of them comes in as a guest.
Oh, well, I think that's a terrific idea.
I think so too.
I'm going to have to clean.
Dude, see, nobody else gets the joke here because your apartment is always immaculately spotless. Immaculately spotless.
I'm down with OCD.
You are. And then we'll close out the show with emails or comments or queries. And I'm going to set up an email. It'll probably be, if it isn't already taken, I can't imagine it is, but it'll probably be epicpodcast@gmail.com. If it's not, then there'll be show notes during this episode. Check the show notes for the email. But it's more than likely going to be Epic Podcast.
Okay, so then to review, it's a four-segment show. The first segment is like my weekly therapy sessions.
Sure.
The second segment is like my Twitter feed.
Right.
The third segment is like the small talk I make in what I call a social life.
Sure.
And then the fourth segment is like my Facebook wall.
Yes, I couldn't. Yes, absolutely. I wouldn't have put it that way, but...
I'm going to make this about me because you just told me this show is my baby too.
It is your baby.
Okay.
It is 50% yours.
50%?
Yeah.
Whew.
What, too much? Too little?
I think you've given me a little too much.
Oh dear. So that's basically how this is going to work. So if you have questions for Schaefer and I, or if you have a wish list for guests that you'd like to be on the show, or I don't know, you want to tell us a funny joke, then email it to us at epicpodcast@gmail.com.
Excellent.
What else you want
to talk about? Well, maybe we should toy with this format. Maybe we should talk about some recent things.
We
can discuss things that we've enjoyed recently.
Do you want to combine like the catch up with the topic?
I feel like we just did the catch up.
That was the catch up?
Well, I mean, we aren't catching up on anything yet. It's the first episode, so
that's
really
true.
Just us, you know, talking ish to each other and explaining our show,
right?
In a really deliberate and obnoxious manner. But since we don't have anything to catch up on, maybe now we should start talking about some things that we've enjoyed recently.
Okay. Well, do you want to talk about Batman?
I always want to talk about Batman.
So listeners out there, Schaefer and I saw Batman opening night. Batman Rises, obviously. Opening night.
Batman Rises.
I know.
That's not the title of the movie.
Fuck, Dark Knight. Dark Knight Rises. Thank you. Okay. Oh, man. I've been drinking.
Yeah.
We saw Dark Knight Rises on opening night, or rather opening day, technically speaking.
No, we went at night. We went to an 8 p.m. showing on Friday.
July 20th. But there was like a midnight.
Yeah, thing. I don't go to midnight showing.
I used to, not anymore.
I'm especially glad I didn't go to a midnight showing of Dark Knight Rises because it's 3 hours long and I'm old and I get cranky when I'm tired.
Right, and you kind of get cranky when you're not tired.
That's also true. I feel I was probably cranky at our 8 o'clock show.
No, not that I noticed. But then again, it was Batman. I could care less what the fuck was going on with you.
I would like to point out though, even though we went to an 8 p.m. showing on opening day, we were the first people in line for our showing.
Yeah.
We were at the front. And it was sold out, obviously. It was opening night, but yeah, we were the first people
in line. That was great.
And we were wearing Batman t-shirts.
True.
Because we were the coolest guys in the room.
Right, because that's what cool kids do.
MC Frontalot didn't even wear a Batman t-shirt.
That's because he's not cool.
No.
No.
Let the record show that MC Frontalot is not cool. He did go see Dark Knight Rises with us opening night.
Yeah.
He did not wear a Batman t-shirt.
No, he did not.
And
then we saw it again just recently.
Yes, we saw it again on Friday
in
night.
In IMAX.
In IMAX, yes.
And so now that we're a month away from it, and we've seen it twice, both in standard and IMAX form, maybe we want to talk about it a little bit.
Here are my thoughts about The Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
Well,
hold on. Are we doing spoilers?
If you have not seen The Dark Knight Rises at this point, it has been out for, well, by the time this airs, well over a month.
Yeah. Yeah, if you haven't seen it by now, chances are you're not going to see it in theaters. You're going to wait until you see it on video, and you're not a good person if you're doing that.
Oh, that's a bit much.
No.
You didn't consume a piece of pop culture media, so you're not a good person.
I'm judgmental!
Well, that's true. And let me be I'll be your balance to that and say, like, it's okay if you haven't seen it. But that said, we're going to spoil things, so don't listen if you want surprises in The Dark Knight Rises.
Right, and we're only going to talk about this for like a few minutes,
yeah.
So don't tune out the whole thing.
My main feelings about The Dark Knight Rises are this. I feel I enjoyed it. I loved Christopher Nolan's entire Batman trilogy. I love Batman. I love, you know, then again, I'm, as a huge Batman fan, I like bad Batman material. I like Batman and Robin, okay?
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. I didn't love it, but I still liked it. You know why? Batman!
Here's my dirty little secret. I like it, too.
Okay, good. Good. Hey, you know what?
I don't love it. I think it's a horrible film, but
yeah.
If given the choice between watching a non-Batman film and the Batman and Robin film, I'll watch the Batman and Robin film.
You know what I feel about Batman and Robin? I feel is that, like, if you look at a movie, like, a few years ago, there was a movie, they made theatrical version of Dukes of Hazzard had Johnny Knoxville
and I remember
Sean William Scott.
That was horrible.
It was horrible, right? But it was a modern day movie updating of a classic terrible television series.
Oh well, hold on, it's not terrible.
Yes, it was.
It's dated, but I wouldn't say it's terrible.
It wasn't good.
We're gonna get
if you watch. We're not gonna argue about fucking Dukes of Hazzard.
We're gonna get a hate mail. I'm just gonna say.
If you look at Batman and Robin, 1997, starring George Clooney and Arnold Schwarzenegger, if you look at that movie as a, like, say none of the other Batman movies had happened. Say right. Batman had never happened. Say Batman and comic books and the great graphic novels and all of that and Frank Miller, none of that had ever happened. And you looked at Batman and Robin as like a modern day update of the 60s television show.
Right.
It actually kind of works.
Right.
Because it's so corny.
Yeah.
It's so ham-fisted and ridiculous and colorful.
Yeah.
It actually kind of works.
I absolutely agree, but here's the problem. The Adam West TV series was already a parody, a brilliant parody of not only comic books, but of action-adventure television at the time. Batman and Robin is trying to parody a parody. And it's just not funny a joke. And yeah, it makes sense if you think of it in terms of the Batman Adam West TV series. But the problem is that the Batman Adam West TV series did it first and did it better.
Fair enough. But we're not going to talk about Batman.
No, we're talking about
Dark Knight
Rises.
Let's talk about the Christopher Nolan trilogy, and we're going to talk about Dark Knight Rises specifically.
As an entire trilogy, I loved every second. Every frame of it. I think overall, it's a brilliant piece of storytelling. I happen to really think that Dark Knight Rises, although not the best of the trilogy, is, I think, really my favorite right now. And I know you disagree.
Yes.
I know you disagree with that. I just think it goes deeper into what Batman is supposed to be, this legend, this idea, this thing larger than life, and it really brings it home in far more profoundly than the first two movies ever did.
All right. I get where you're coming from with that. Yeah. I feel that the Dark Knight trilogy, I don't feel there has been a trilogy of films that has been, that has followed the same path as the original Star Wars trilogy, quite like the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yeah.
And let me tell you why. I feel The Dark Knight Rises is very, very much the Return of the Jedi of that series. I feel it is, it's still a great movie. It's not the best of the series. But at the same time, you get a little bit more of a taste of the legend.
Right.
Where in like Return of the Jedi, you get a little bit more
sure.
Jedi philosophy than you did in the first two films. You get all these great satisfying reveals, all these like shocking surprises.
Yeah.
And it ties everything up nicely for a third act. That said, I feel it's still the weakest of the trilogy. It gets way heavy-handed and repetitive, like in the second act of the single film.
Oh, I disagree.
Yeah, well, you just see so many things happening over and over and over again. I mean, I feel Bruce Wayne constantly trying to crawl out of that prison is that movie's Ewoks. There's like 45 minutes of both of them. It's not a bad movie. Batman Begins is A New Hope to a T. It introduces you to a character and suggests to you they're going to be going on this tremendous journey. And there's no doubt that The Dark Knight is The Empire Strikes Back because it ends. It's a second act, so it has to end on a bad note for the good guys, and it ends in tragedy for
sure.
Everybody involved.
Absolutely.
That movie ends on a bummer for everybody, and it is without question the best installment of the franchise.
Yes, I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree with you.
Even though just a moment ago you said you didn't.
No. Hold on. I didn't I agree with you that The Dark Knight Rises is not the best of the trilogy, but not by much. It's a very narrow margin here. I'm being exceedingly nitpicky when I say that. If you put a gun to my head, I would actually have to say that Batman Begins is probably not the strongest of the three.
Okay.
Because
too many close-ups?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just that. It's sort of like, because we watched all three films. We watched the first two films prior to seeing Dark Knight Rises just to get up to speed. And it's been a while since Nolan's been back to Batman by the time he gets to Dark Knight Rises. And you can see that there's a lot of I hate to use this word, but it's like there's almost a hesitation on his part to trust that what he's doing is on track. And everything is just so tightly focused. Everything is close-ups. Everything is a close-up shot, and in The Dark Knight, he starts to pull camera back and he starts to really trust that what he's doing is right on track. And then finally, we get the Nolan that has arrived and is comfortable in this world in Dark Knight Rises, where she's sweeping camera shots and everything's pulled back and you see everything going on, you know, these giant aerial views of the city and these big scale epic battles. And I think, you know, you could see his progress as not only as a storyteller, but as a film director in these three films. And
I got to agree with that. I feel like as from a cinematography aspect, his confidence is strongest in The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
He's tried to create an epic.
Yeah.
Huge, huge sweeping shots, which he only kind of hinted at in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight was much more story driven, and I felt perhaps there was a bit more confidence in the story for Dark Knight Rises that they went crazy with the imagery of
sure.
it. But sure. I think at the end of the day, the story wasn't quite as strongly written as The Dark Knight.
Oh no, I disagree.
Okay,
I disagree. I love the stories in all three. I think it's a difference of like potato and potato, because Dark Knight was a very personal story for that Batman. You know, he was struggling with. There's a line that he has to cross in order to stop this person.
How are any of them not that? They're all that.
No,
they're all a very personal story.
Yeah,
for Bruce
Wayne. But The Dark Knight Rises is more about Batman, quote unquote. I'm using finger quotes here.
Okay.
And more about Gotham City as a whole.
Wait, you're saying Dark Knight Rises is less about Batman and more about Gotham City?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm
or are you saying it's more about Batman?
No, I'm saying The Dark Knight.
Good, because
Knight
he doesn't
about,
show up for 45 minutes into
I'm
the
gonna,
picture.
I'm going to punch you in the face so hard.
Okay.
So hard, I'm going to punch you.
It's my understanding that the third movie should be about Bruce Wayne.
And it is.
It's not about Batman at all, which is why he barely gets any screen time.
Because it's about what Batman is, not who he is. It's about this legend, about this icon, this you know, where people are starting to use Batman iconography to rally against Bane and his militia. You know, he's become a symbol more so than any one man. So it's driving home the idea of the legend. And that's the story that Nolan's telling here.
I see.
But that's my takeaway, you know, knowing full well that I will probably end up watching Dark Knight more so than Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, you probably will.
Yeah.
I certainly will, but I'm just going to go ahead and say that you probably will too. It's more fun.
I think it's funner. I think it's a far more in terms of like just comic book geekdom, a far more sort of fan service to the comic book geeks than say Dark Knight Rises is. Dark Knight Rises is more of a, I don't want to use it into word like intellectual. It's more of a story of the world that he's built over two movies than it is about this person we know as Batman.
I see.
Because we see more of Gordon, we see more of the people of Gotham and the effect that all of this has on them. You know, Gotham's been overrun. Gotham is now under martial law by an evading force. It's about Gotham City. You know.
I wish they'd called it Gotham City. I wish they hadn't called it...
Like Batman Gotham City?
No, I wish they just called it Gotham City. I don't like that Dark Knight appears in two of the titles of this trilogy. I don't like that I'm calling it the Dark Knight trilogy, and I'm only calling that because the press has called it that. I mean, I wish it had been like Batman Begins, Dark Knight, Gotham City. That would have been a satisfying series of titles for a trilogy. I don't like that because then Batman Begins feels so left out of the fun.
Aww.
It's got Batman in the title.
I think that had more to do with a marketing decision.
Yeah, I'm sure a studio decided they were like, we got to make this a sequel because The Dark Knight, I don't feel, was marketed as a sequel to Batman Begins at all. It was just like, hey, it's a Batman movie and the Joker's in it. Did you see the ads on TV and the viral marketing campaign? Get into the theaters, you bunch of dicks. And they did.
They did. In droves. But all in all, I loved it. It makes me both excited and exceedingly nervous about the next Batman film because you know there's going to be a next one.
It's not going to be a film. There's going to be another Batman franchise.
Well, I hope. I kind of hope they leave the Nolan storyline alone and have it be its own thing.
Oh, they will.
Although I really love the world he's built. I would love a story in that world. I just don't want them picking up where Nolan left off.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, just to add to my Star Wars analogy that I'm making here, the next trilogy or however many films it is, whoever reboots, whoever is handed the giant shoes to reboot the Batman franchise after
after
Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy, just like Star Wars, those movies will be inferior. I called it here.
Well, only if they're in the same world. You know what I mean?
They won't be in the same world. It doesn't matter. They're going to have to.
No, it has to be apples and oranges. You can't,
shut up.
You can't judge the only reason why they're horrible is because the Star Wars one.
No, you can judge them. And let me tell you why. Because any one of Christopher Nolan's movies is better than Tim Burton's Batman.
Whoa.
Yep. They fucked up the Joker.
Whoa.
They fucked up Batman.
God.
They fucked up Gotham City.
Fuck you. Okay. This is where it starts to get real. I'm going to finish this Corona and I'm going to knock this bottle over your head.
You know, speaking of Batman and the modern Batman, there's something else I would like to touch on a little
bit.
What's that? I feel on the internet I've read that a great deal of hate from fans about DC Comics' so-called New 52.
Yeah, that's because nerds hate change in any capacity or form it appears in.
That's the thing. I feel with the new Batman books... You take any one of the Batman books by the New 52. If you took any one of those storylines and you gave them the same writers, the same illustrators, and they had just continued the continuity or at least the numbering from the previous, you know, been like Detective 621 or whatever, I feel like nobody would have complained about it at all.
Well, hold on. I mean, okay, Here's in full disclosure, I have not read any of the 52 yet. So the only information I have is what I've gleaned off the internet, and that's sort of tangential because I don't read comic book articles. But from what I understand, they've altered like origins, and they've altered like specific key points in the history and the making of these particular heroes. Is that not the case?
Well, I'm not reading all of the New 52 because okay. I'm actually not a big DC Comics fan, but I'm reading, I shouldn't say I'm reading all of the Batman titles. I gave up on The Dark Knight after 4 issues because it was effing terrible. But I'm still reading Batman, Detective, and Batman and Robin. And of those three, Batman and Robin is the strongest one. It's written really well. It's illustrated really well. Maybe. I know a lot of fanboys have a hard time with it because the Robin in Batman and Robin is Damian Wayne. And right. I know a lot of people weren't crazy about when Damian Wayne was introduced in the original.
Right. Maybe that's the problem that they have. Maybe, I mean, again, I'm speaking completely out of my ass because I don't know. But, I mean, I think maybe a lot of the anger and the sort of vitriol comes from the fact that a lot of them are just not good.
Okay. You know,
and on top of that, then they're rebooting stuff. And on top of that, they're doing this whole like sweeping organizational change. So I don't think it's, maybe I'm being devil's advocate right now, but it just seems to me like there's a lot more to complain about than the fact that it's just called 52.
Well, I don't know. Again, I think if any one of these storylines had just been tagged on to the previous continuity, because, you know, stories over time in the DC universe, they end and new stories launch up.
But, right.
If the numbering had been the same, I don't feel people would have been complaining. But they're complaining for the sake of complaining because there was change.
Well, maybe. Well, here's the thing.
The new Detective Comics is really good.
Yeah.
The new Batman and Robin is really good. I don't care if you don't like Damian Wayne. He's written really well in those books. It's the strongest of the Batman titles out there right now.
Well, where?
And even me saying that, I'm still going to say that the whole overarching Night of the Owl storyline that crossed over into all the Batman titles was pretty weak, but it had its moments. Okay.
I heard some amazing things about this.
It had its moments. There was some pretty interesting stuff done with the whole Night of the Owls thing.
Right.
But overall, it wasn't great. But that said, I feel, having read Batman for a long time, I read a lot of Batman stories that lasted several issues that were terrible. But people, all the Batman fans were buying up because who's Batman? He's infallible.
I've heard, you know, back when I was reading single issues, I used to follow quite a few of the sort of comic book news sites and online video casts and things like that. And there was a good stretch of time where Batman just wasn't written well. It just wasn't good. And people were complaining about that too. So, I mean, I think it's a combination of things. I think people, like, for the most part, people don't like change.
Yeah.
The stories, for the most part, haven't been consistently good, and then there's this whole new DC has decided it wants to rebrand itself into this new like edgy and with it thing with a new logo and the whole thing. I think it's too much all at the same time, and to be fair, if I was reading single issues, I would probably be among the masses who are complaining about the whole thing. If it was just one of those things, I'd be fine. If it was just them deciding to rebrand and the stories were just consistent the way they were, I'd be fine. If it was just bad stories, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to get through this patch and they'll start to get good again, because that's how it works when you change out artists or writers or something like that. But all of that at the same time just seems to me like it'd be like a perfect storm of just, you know, enough to bitch about.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, I'll tell you what, when some of these trades start coming out, I think there is a trade for the first several issues of Batman.
Yeah,
Robin.
Now that they're starting to come out with the trades, I'm gonna start buying them.
Well, you pick them up and you tell me what you think.
Okay.
Or I'll loan you the individual issues and you can read them. You can borrow them from me and read them.
Awesome. Can we have a whole podcast devoted to dissecting the new 52?
No. 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 I'm buying them and reading them, but I don't even like that I've talked about them this long. So I don't want to talk about him anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see. All right. Well, then let's move on to our next segment about the things that are coming up for us. I know that you have one or two people on the internet who are interested in what you do.
There's one or two people on the internet who is interested in what I do.
At least one or two.
Yes.
Because I know you sold at least one album.
At one.
Yeah. And it wasn't me, because I just took it. I don't pay for your shit.
I think it was my mom.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Everybody else downloads that stuff from torrents.
Yeah, right.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, dude. Seriously.
I've got some
what
stuff
you got?
Coming
what do you got
up. I've got an album of B-sides unreleased material that is long overdue.
Oh, that's right.
That was supposed to come out earlier this summer.
That was supposed to come out like the beginning of August, wasn't
it? Yes, I know, and I'm still getting grief about it on Facebook every day.
Fuck.
It's coming.
What the hell, Doc?
It's coming. You know what? Talk to Michael Kill from the Thought Criminals about that.
Oh, he's going to get hate mail.
No, he's not. Don't tell.
What's his email?
Don't talk to Michael Kill of the Thought Criminals about that. He is mastering this album of unreleased material. It's called Junk Drawer. It's going to be a free download.
Wait, hold on. Don't just brush over that. It's called Junk Drawer by Schaefer the Dark Lord. Yes. Soon to be a free downloadable LP, right?
Yes.
Where can they get it?
It'll be available on my Bandcamp page eventually.
I had no idea you had a Bandcamp page.
I do. There's only one song on it currently because I'm just holding space until this album of B-sides comes out.
Awesome. So what's on the album?
It's a bunch of stuff spanning about 9 years.
Holy fuck. Balls.
There's a lot of songs that have been on demo CDs that I sold on tours 6-7 years ago that I've never released properly because they're either covers or there are songs that have samples that I can't clear. Like, there's a song built around samples of a Carrie Underwood song, and I can't really sell them on iTunes.
Oh wait, is that the Original Sin theme song?
That is the one.
Nice.
And there's some remixes. It's a bunch of stuff that I didn't really feel comfortable selling, so I'm just going to make it free, and it'll be on the internet. Again, eventually.
Eventually. And then, do you have a better idea now as to when that might happen? You're no closer now than you were, like, 2 weeks ago.
Let's say August. Although August is almost over, so let's say September.
Okay, all right.
And then I'm also currently working on a new full length of new stuff that should be out hopefully in the fall. But let's just not hold our breaths because you know what?
Well, I know, and stop me if I'm getting this wrong. Uh-huh. But I know that it's a concept album.
It is a concept album,
and that it's predominantly stuff that's darker, sadder in nature.
Yes.
Not entirely, because I know some of the songs on there.
Well, yeah. I mean, some of the songs I've been doing on stage for the past couple of years are going to be on it. Songs like Boo, I'm a Ghost,
that's
and Tom Girl, and Do Sex.
Right.
Like, those are all kind of upbeat numbers, but that's pretty much the end of the list. After that, it's all pretty dark.
Dark, sad yeah. Kind of like almost emo.
Let's not go crazy.
Well, here's I know that you don't want to reveal the title of the album.
No, not yet.
But I have some ideas.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I have some ideas
of
what you should call the album.
Go, Nelson Lugo. All right. Do you think I should call my record?
This is what it sounds like when a Schaefer the Dark Lord cries.
Wow. That's
That's one. Here's another one.
Okay, go.
Ouch, I'm Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Wow.
Is that good?
That's two.
All right. Now, hold on. I got a few more.
No.
Here's one.
Put them on your Twitter feed.
Return of the Dark Lord.
Okay. That was the only one you've actually pitched to me before right now.
Yeah.
The Return of the Dark Lord. I'm never going to call anything the Return of anything.
Oh, damn it.
No.
All right. How about this? I'm so sad. I'm so very, very sad.
That's a Scott Pilgrim reference. I'm not going to call it. No, I'm not.
Why not?
All right. Look, I already have a title picked out for it, and you all will find out when.
All right. How about this? If you have ideas on what Schaefer the Dark Lord can call his next album, email us at theepicpodcast@gmail.com, and I'll read the best six of the emails that we get. There'll be no prize, but we'll give you a shout out. How's that?
Is it going to be theepicpodcast@gmail.com or just epicpodcast?
It's epicpodcast@gmail.com, but don't take my word for it. Check the show notes because it might not be available.
Okay. So anyway, so I'm working on these two records. Well, one of them I'm done working on. The other one I'm still working on very much. And so I hopefully there'll be two albums out before the end of the year, but we'll see.
Okay.
As everybody knows, I work very slowly.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you do.
Other than that, as far as actual performances, you want to do the plugs?
Yeah, let's do plugs.
As far as actual performances, you can catch me Saturday, September 8th at Grand Victory in Brooklyn, New York.
What?
And I will be performing with a bunch of my favorite rappers.
Who are those rappers?
I will tell you. Jesse Dangerously.
I love Jesse Dangerously.
Adam Warrock.
I fucking love Adam
Warrock. Michael Kill of the Thought Criminals.
Who's that?
Come on. He's the guy who did the bender with me at Nerdapalooza and walked away in a brace because he hurt himself.
That guy's a ton of fun.
And last but not least, the amazing Tribe One. Those four guys, Jesse, Adam, Michael, Tribe, they're all on a tour this fall called the No Friends Tour. And when they come to Brooklyn, I will be playing the show with them. Again, it is a grand victory in Brooklyn, New York. And you can find the event page on
Facebook.
On my Facebook page. Right. Either my personal Facebook page or my Shape of the Dark Lord page.
I will say this. I've seen every one of those people except Jesse Dangerously live. And I am so utterly excited for this show. I mean, I'm excited to see all those guys like War Rock and Tribe One, but I've never seen Jesse Dangerously live. I'm very excited about it.
Jesse Dangerously is the best, and he will also inform you that he is the best.
No, I know. I heard he's the best directly from Jesse Dangerously, so I got it right from the horse's mouth.
Apparently, according to Jesse Dangerously, Canada is not very humble.
No.
Now he's got the chops to back it up.
Jesse, totally, yeah.
I love Jesse, and he's amazing.
Yeah, I can't, like, everything he does is just, like, gold to my ears.
We were both uncredited guests on the same track once.
Are we going to go there?
Nope.
Seriously?
Nope.
Are we going to go there? Because
nope.
I'll go there.
Anyway, what do you have coming up, Nelson Lugo?
Let's see. Epic Win Burlesque has two shows coming up, September 14th and September 15th at the Tada Theater. Under the auspices of the Tank Theater Company. It is called Sci-Fi TV, and it's all of the tried and true classic sci-fi television brought to life with semi-naked geek girls. Basically.
For example, what sort of science fiction television shows should we see represented at this Epic Win show?
Well, let's see. We have New York favorite Stormy Leather doing her homage to Battlestar Galactica.
Ooh, that's number
in
sick.
In a full working Cylon Centurion suit.
That number is so sick, you guys. It's so sick.
Let's see. We have Femme Appeal, my favorite crazy person, who's going to be doing an homage to the Twilight Zone.
Oh, it's also a good number.
Nasty Canasta. Again, she's also my favorite crazy person. She's doing her homage to Doctor Who. Minita Mucha is doing SeaQuest.
SeaQuest?
I know. Isn't that a... It's like, dude, I remember SeaQuest, and I loved the fuck out of SeaQuest.
If any of you were at Nerdpalooza, Minita Mucha, just to refresh you, did that awesome Moaning Myrtle act.
Yes.
The Harry Potter.
Yes. The
and,
much
now,
beloved.
And now SeaQuest.
And now SeaQuest.
Okay, what else?
Creamy Stevens, a New York legend. She's doing her... Wrath of Khan Star Trek homage.
Oh my goodness.
And that's a crazy ass number. And then we have Francine, the Lucid Dream, who's going to be doing a little sort of she loves the X-Files. I guess that's all I can really say without spoiling it.
Sure.
But she loves the X-Files, and so she's going to be bringing in X-Files.
Francine is also the producer of a burlesque show called The Pink Room.
Yes.
And she has done a number of David Lynch-themed burlesque shows.
And she's all of them have been wonderful. All of them.
A number of Twin Peaks shows, a Blue Velvet show, a Mulholland Drive.
Mm-hmm.
She's done a lot of David Lynch burlesque shows. I've been very lucky to have been invited to host a number of these shows, in full disclosure.
Sure.
But she's amazing, and it'll be exciting to see her on the Epic Win stage.
You know, it's interesting, because I never thought in a million years that a narrow niche, nerd-centric show using burlesque would ever succeed.
And look at you now.
Look at me. Oh, wait. Oh, wow. I see what you did there.
So for the September 14th and 15th, is that correct?
September 14th and 15th. You can find the invite via the Epic Win Burlesque fan page, which is Epic Win Burlesque on Facebook. Or you can go to epicwinburlesque.com. Or you can go to Twitter, which is EW Burlesque. And I have an Instagram, I think. It's called Charming Trickster.
You're going to be hosting this show, is that correct?
Well, I'm going to be hosting it, and I figured since I'm having a lot of old New York burlesque old timers, as they say, on stage with me, I figured I would bring back another old timer to stage with me. So I'm actually going to have a co-host for Epic Win Burlesque, which is a fun and novel thing to do.
A co-host?
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah. This co-host, he's a buddy of mine, an old drinking buddy of mine.
Okay.
And he's a musician, and in the loosest definition of that word.
Okay.
And let's see, he he has a reputation for being a bit of a druggie.
Will you just say his? Will you just say it?
It's Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Oh, yay.
You're gonna be on stage with me.
Yay!
I've missed you so much.
Yes, I did.
Oh my god!
I know. I used to co-produce.
Where have you been?
I used to co-produce and co-host the show with Nelson, and
now you're just a hired gun.
I quit. Now I'm a hired gun to host. And let me just say, as you were saying something a minute ago, as you're gonna have a bunch of what did you say? A bunch of old.
Old-timers.
Well, a bunch of old-timers. Look, to be fair, you and I are going to be the oldest people on that stage.
True.
So I don't think it's fair to call Nasty and Creamy and Fat old-timers.
No. Well, I mean, old-timers in the sense of, like, the internet old-timers. Like, you know, we've, like, people who've been doing, who've been in the burlesque scene for, like, 8 or more years.
I would say they're seasoned pros.
Diplomatic way of saying it. Yes,
these are superstars of the New York City burlesque scene. They have been for many years.
Yeah.
And so it'll be an exciting show, especially to see them all collected in one place.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a very exciting show for me because these are performers who don't necessarily identify with nerdy burlesque, but they have been doing nerd themed acts for a very long time before there was even a thing called nerdlesque or nerdy burlesque.
True.
So, in fact, it was by and large their acts that inspired me that this could be a thing that could happen.
So it's a very exciting lineup. It's an exciting theme. I'm excited to come back. I think we're gonna have.
I'm excited to have you back as well.
We're gonna have a very good time.
There might be a special guest star.
Oh.
Can we tease it now?
If you must.
Well,
I'm not teasing him because I don't like him.
Well, we just confirmed him. He just signed off on being there because he made me sign a performer contract writer. He's a little difficult to work with, but I'm very glad to have him. STP is going to be in the house.
Great.
Schaefer the Puppet is confirmed to be in the show. He's agreed to do a duet with you, which I'm very excited about. And he said that he's both very excited and stoked and something about he can't wait to hate on you, I think is what his exact words
were. That's terrific. I cannot wait to see that horrible little puppet again.
Dude, he speaks so highly of you. I don't know why you have such disdain for
him. Have you seen his Facebook presence? It's mostly spent trolling me on the internet.
I don't really get to see much of your interactions with him.
All right, well, he's... maybe he'll be there, maybe he won't. We'll just see.
Okay, all right. Well, just so you know, he sent me the writer. I sent it back to him. I'm saying he's confirmed only in that... You know, I approve the writer, so we'll see what happens.
All right.
Yeah. And I think that's it. I think we're done. I think we're done with the very first episode of the Epic Podcast. If you liked us, then please come back to nerdyshow.com because that is that's where we live now. We are now an official podcast of the Nerdy Show, a conglomerate of podcasts, and we're very happy to be there. We're going to have some next month, about, I guess, a month from now, we'll do another one. And we're going to have some guest stars, and we'll answer some of your questions, and we'll have a lot to talk about. So until then.
And again, if you want to ask us some questions for the next episode, email us at epicpodcast@gmail.com.
Correct. I have been Nelson Lugo.
And I have been Schaefer the Dark Lord.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye. The Epic Podcast is brought to you by Nerdy Show. All programming on the Nerdy Show Network is listener supported. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, you can show your support by telling a friend or going to nerdyshow.com and clicking the support button. Even a small contribution gets you cool nerdy perks and allows you to take part in our monthly support drive contests. For more episodes of the Epic Podcasts, videos, contests, and other nerdy programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Subscribe to all our latest episodes via the iTunes Store. And remember to follow us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter @Nerdy Show to keep up to date on the latest Nerdy Show news.